training people to eat more soy so they don't have a heart attack and die. Neither approach stands a chance of working. People don't want to change their minds. Instead, Vivian is growing by reaching out to communities that will choose to pay attention, to individuals who have a worldview that will embrace the story she's trying to tell. Vivian framed her story in a way that matches that worldview. A block away, the Equinox Health Club gives out discount cards to the Soy Luck Club. The assumption, a correct one, is that people notice a discount card if it's given to them by someone they trust. Even better, people who pay good money to work out in the middle of the winter are significantly more likely to want to believe in a story of healthy nutrition right around the corner. So it grows. Of course, Vivian will really have a home run once her loyal customers start telling stories to their friends. Friends who might not share their worldview, but are eager to do something that others are doing. Eager to hang out at a place beloved by their best friends. That's how Starbucks succeeded, and how the Soy Luck Club will as well. Faking it with ice cream. Cold Stone Creamery started with a powerful story and grew to nearly 1,000 stores. Now, though, the story is getting confused. Started about 20 years ago in Arizona, Cold Stone has storytelling at its heart. Here's part of their mission statement. Say goodbye to frozen predictability and hello to a whole new way to experience dessert. But can you really go wrong when making people happy is your number one priority? At Cold Stone Creamery, our company's mission is to put smiles on people's faces by delivering the ultimate ice cream experience. They get it. They understand that people pay 5 or 10 times the price of supermarket ice cream because of the way the experience makes them feel, not because of the ice cream itself. Families go to their scoop shops because of the story the experience tells them. And Cold Stone has legions of fans. They have stores in 46 states, and people will drive 10 or 20 miles out of their way to visit one. The problem is that now that they are focused on growth, they're growing by franchising the business. Some of the local owners aren't as passionate as the founders, and the inevitable outcome is that the story is no longer authentic, which makes it hard to believe the lie. Scoopers at Cold Stone Creamery occasionally break into song. They'll sing for tips, and they'll sing about the joy of ice cream. At my neighborhood Cold Stone, though, they don't sing. They sort of whine a funeral dirge. It's obvious that someone ordered them to sing. They don't understand why, and they certainly don't care. By hiring the cheapest staff they could find, it appears to me as though some of the franchisees are viewing their business as putting ice cream in a cone. It's not. They're in the business of telling a story. And the song and the smiles and the staff are a much bigger part of that than the ice cream itself. Cold Stone cannot cost reduce their way to success, because soon the hordes will stop coming when they find that the experience leaves them hollow. If the scoopers aren't having a great time, why should the customers? Some senses count for more than others, but every sense matters. The way a home smells when you visit an open house. The clicking sound a cell phone makes when you dial it. The location within a strip mall when you choose a restaurant. The display in the window. The way the receptionist answers the phone. The typeface on the flyer. The identity of the person calling you on the phone soliciting a donation. The identity of the person calling you on the phone soliciting a donation. It's worth stopping for a second to understand how significant a change we're now dealing with. Just 20 years ago, what mattered was how well you crammed your idea into a 60-second television commercial. Things like price and retail distribution were the essence of your marketing strategy. Today, whether you're an architect, an evangelist, or a cookie marketer, the rules are very different. You win when you manage to make your story coherent. If you are able to live the story you want to tell, the people you're telling it to are more likely to believe it because you'll get all the details right. When they put silk in the refrigerated section of your supermarket, even though it doesn't need refrigeration, they were telling you a subtle story about freshness. When they put sports nutrition bars at the checkout instead of next to the vitamins, they are telling you a story as well. Tiny cues that deliver big messages. It's the combination of senses that now convince the skeptical consumer. No sense works all by itself. You might be able to trick me with a handwritten menu in the window of your restaurant, but if the chairs are wrong, or worse, if the restaurant smells wrong, I'll bolt. You may be the best psychiatrist in town, but you won't succeed if the word you use in the first 10 seconds of our first phone call have more to do with signing me up as a patient than your training does. Early on in this book, I told you that marketing has become an art. The essence of that art is your ability to use nonverbal techniques to make me a series of promises. Promises you intend to keep. Some people are fortunate in that they're able to generate these signals without realizing it. Most of us, though, need to do it on purpose. We need to work hard to understand what the biases of our prospects are and which totems we can use to tell a story to these people. The best place to start? Copy someone in a different industry who's telling a similar story. Discover the cues and signals she uses. Do them all, not just a few. Your story is a symphony, not a note. All successful stories are the same. Remember, the best stories promise to fulfill the wishes of a consumer's worldview. They may offer a shortcut, a miracle, money, social success, safety, ego, fun, pleasure, or belonging. They can also play on fear by promising to avoid the opposite of all the things above. Consumers are all different, but ultimately they all want the same outcome. They want to be promoted, to be popular, to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. They want to be pleasantly surprised and honestly flattered. This is standard marketing stuff with a new spin, except it's not, because successful stories never offer the things marketers are most likely to feature. Very good quality, a slightly better price, the best you can get under the circumstances, a decent commodity at a decent price, convenience, nice people, a quality brochure, few defects, industry standard warranty. None of these attributes are story worthy. Not only aren't consumers going to tell themselves a story about these features, but they're certainly not going to think they're remarkable enough to share with their friends. Almost nobody wants a better drill bit or a slightly more nutritious muffin. Delivering a remarkable story isn't easy, but it's worth it. So, the place to start with your product, your service, your organization, and your resume is this. What classic story can I tell?